Okay. 27B1, Chav Zayin Amid Beis.
Okay, whatever.
Close to the top of the page. Yes, Shaden, like 15 lines.
What day is that day anyway?
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines from the top.
And what day is that? What day is that on?
Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Okay. It says in the Mishnah, it says like this. The last Mishnah we just learned, it says like this. If a city was captured by Goyim, all the wives of Koyanim cannot stay married to the husband because we assume they were raped. But then the Mishnah said like this, if there's any witnesses, even a Eved, a Shivcha, a slave, a maidservant, that the women are not touched, that the Goyim didn't rape them, they're believed. That's what the Mishnah said. Okay? So the Gemara says now, right? That's what it says in the Mishnah, that if as long as there's any, even though they're not kosher witnesses normally, right? But the fact that there's an Eved, a Shivcha, somebody testifying that they weren't touched, the kosher.
27-1?
B1, second column. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Afilu Shivcha didomehem, even the woman's own maidservant is believed.
Okay.
Even her own maidservant is believed. But Amin, I'll ask you a question. It says, like the Siachet Imei, the din is like this. A woman that needs to get a divorce. Okay? Like Rashi says, I'm going over here. Up and up. Okay, it says like this. A shchiv meira, this is the case. A shchiv meira means a person who's dying doesn't want his wife to have a problem with tibum. Okay? This couple doesn't have kids. They're an old couple. He's dying. He doesn't want, if he dies, his wife has to do Yibum or Chalitza. He doesn't want that. So he writes her a get. And he says, like Rashi says, this get should become that if he dies, the get should be retroactive from the minute before he died. Because you can't, dead people can't give a get, right? So he gives her a get. And he says, this get should become effective 1 minute before I die. So the Mishnah says over there, he's not allowed to have yichud with her.
After he writes that?
Huh?
After he writes the...
After he writes the get, he cannot be alone with her in the room. Oh. Why? Because the din is, if a man gives a get to his wife, and he lives with her, they have relations, it nullifies the get. Okay? That's the halacha. So therefore the Mishnah says, if in this case, the husband cannot have, yichud, only if there's two witnesses there. Now, the two witnesses with them the whole time that they're not being alone. Even if it's an eved or a shivcha, if there's two people, eved or shivcha, chutz mi shivchasa, except her own maidservant. Right? So it says like this. We believe any person to say they didn't live together. Right? Except their own maidservant. Why? Because the expression is, Mimnei Shaliba Gaspa. She's so familiar with her master. The master is so familiar with the slave, she will have intimacy even with her there. With other people there, she's not going to have intimacy. But she's so close to the, she'll have, so therefore her own maidservant is not believed. Any other maidservant would be believed. Because again, the purpose is they shouldn't have relations. If they have relations, then it nullifies the get. So you need to make sure there's no yichud.
But there can be two gets.
As long as there's no Adam.
I mean, they can't be in the same house.
Yeah, but like, Mepharshim explained, like, the next line is one witness you need. They can stay in the same house, yeah, as long as there's one witness always present. And even if it's an Eved or a Shivcha, it's also good. But it can be her Shivcha. Okay, so what's the question? The question is like this. The Gemara says, the Mishnah said, that if there's one maidservant that says that she wasn't touched, We believe her. So Gemara says, even her own Shivcha who would lie for her? And what's the case? In this case over here, they can't, the guy wrote, the Shchimei Rav wrote the get, yeah? He says, they can't have, be alone, right, with the, her Shivcha in the house. Because she'll have relations, and the Shivcha will lie for her. If the Shivcha said they had intimacy, it nullifies the get. Right? So obviously the Shivcha is going to lie for her because she's her buddy. Right? So from this Mishnah by Gittin, when we say we don't trust her maidservant, we trust any other maidservant, not hers, because the maidservant will stick up and lie for her. They had intimacy and she'll say they didn't. Right? So why over here do we believe her maidservant? Her maidservant will testify, even if the woman had intimacy with the Goyim that conquered the city, the maidservant will say, no, she didn't. She'll lie for her.
Because these are different cases.
What's the cases?
First one, against Goyim, and this is against the husband wanting to give it.
No, the question is over here, is she going to lie for her or not? By get we say, the case of the get where she can't have be alone with the shivcha there, her shivcha, because we don't trust the shivcha. She'll lie for her. She'll have intimacy and she'll say, no, she didn't. Right? So therefore, Chum said we don't believe her. So if the case over here is like this, if this girl was raped by the goyim, and the shivcha, her own shivcha testifies she wasn't, maybe she's lying and she'll just stick up for her. Just like over there, we don't trust her maidservant because she's going to lie for her. So why over here do we trust her? Right? Got it? Or?
Yeah.
No. Moshe, what's the issue? Huh?
He says, who's my shivcha? But the regular shivcha is okay, right?
Yeah. No, it says, afilu eved afilu shivcha.
Yeah.
Chutz mi shivcha sa. Because she'll lie for her.
Yeah.
So why over here are we not afraid the maidservant is going to lie that she wasn't raped when she really was? So the Gemara answers three answers. Amar Rav Papi, Rav Papi said, b'shvuya hekilu. You're right. By captives, we're lenient. Like the Gemara said before, why? It's not for sure they raped her. There's an assumption they raped her, right? So therefore we're lenient, and therefore even her maidservant would be trusted. But by the woman with the get, it's her own husband. Come on, I mean, she'll be together and she'll just lie for her. So we're not lenient in that case of get. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says no. The answer of this contradiction, why by the get we say her maidservant is not believed, and our maid's Mishnah implies even the maidservant is believed, he says like this. This Mishnah is dealing with Shivcha Dida, her maidservant, the wife's maidservant, she'll lie for her. Our Mishnah is talking the Shivcha Dida, the husband's maidservant. So in other words, you're right. This is according to Rav Papa's answer. Rav Papa differentiates. He says you're right. If it's her maidservant, even by the rape story, she's not believed. Just say by get, she's not believed in that case. She's not believed here either. What does the Mishnah mean when it says even eved a shivcha? Even if it's the husband's maidservant, she's believed. Because she won't stick up for the wife as much.
But the last one is chutz mi shivchata. What does shivchata mean?
By getting it says shivchasa.
Tataka,
she's not believed.
Oh, okay.
Here is speaking Shivcha Didei.
His
maidservant.
But anyway, why is this get considered a good get? A minute before he dies, he's not dead yet. It's not a minute before his death, that the get should be good anyway.
You could, why
it's
not?
It's retroactive.
It's retroactive from now. The guy gives the get to the wife. Yeah, that's the case, by the Yim guy, I didn't say it clearly. The guy gives a get to his wife, and he says, after I die, the get is retroactively good from today.
Oh, from today.
Therefore, from now on,
Not a minute before I die.
No. I said that. I shouldn't have said it. You understand? So then it's retroactive from now. So if they're together, so when the guy dies eventually, the get is good from today. So if they're alone, they might be together. That's going to nullify the get.
What is contradiction? The get is not effective. But in other hand, we said it's good. It's like
no. When he dies, it's going to be okay. Let's say he gives a get Aleph Nissen.
Yeah.
Okay. And he says, "Listen, when I die, the guy's dying. He's a shchiv meirah. He's basically dying. Yeah. And not a minute or two. He's dying soon. Yeah." And he says, listen, after I die, this get will be retroactive from today.
Otherwise, not a get.
Otherwise, not a get. Okay? What does he want to accomplish? That if he dies, she should be considered a divorced woman already. That she shouldn't have to do yibum or chalitza or chavzayin amid beis. Yeah. You understand? So then the din is they can't be alone. Because if they're alone, it's going to nullify the get.
There is no get. He said if he dies, it's going to be effective.
But when he dies a month later,
if he dies.
When he dies a month later, and they were together 2 weeks before that, so then the get started a month ago, but they were together 2 weeks after the get. So it's going to nullify the get. So she's going to anyway have to do yibum.
In order to protect the get, it's doing this.
Right. Because otherwise, the get won't be a get. Like we said, the halacha is, if a guy divorces his wife for the get, and they have intimacy after the get, it nullifies the get.
How would anybody know that they have intimacy?
People know.
Witnesses.
Well, if they have yichud, if they're alone in the house the whole time themselves, there's
that's
an assumption.
That's
yeah. There's an assumption that they did it.
Why they don't separate totally?
I'll give you an. They want to stay married. He wants to take care of him. What do you mean?
Yes, no, it's like.
But they're still, he's still like. There's nothing. They hate each other, so they're giving a get. Right? The only reason he's giving a get, he shouldn't be stuck for Yibum. So then the din is, everybody's believed. Just have one witness, Yichud, in the house. Except her maidservant. Her maidservant's gonna lie.
He's
made her. Shiv and that price, by get. So the Gemara asks, see, if so, why, by the case of captive, do we believe her shivcha, that she'll also lie? So Rav Papi answered, they were lenient by captives. Okay? Rav Papi says, no. We're not lenient by captives, in this case. What's the difference by get? Her maidservant is not believed. And over here they are believed because it's not her maidservant. Her maidservant, Taka, would lie for her. In both cases. That means according to Rav Papa, if her maidservant testified she was okay and not raped, she's not believed. According to Rav Papi, she would be believed. Rav Papa said they're not believed. Right? Amishah says, even then, so Amishah speaking when it's his maidservant is believed. So the Gemara asks, in Rav Papa's ruling, what do you mean? Her own slave woman is not believed? That's what Rav Papa says, right? Only his maidservant is believed, not her maidservant. Haktani ena the maid al atzmi. It says, a person cannot testify on his own behalf. Okay? Meaning, a person is not believed to say I wasn't touched. Okay? But the Mishnah says, he's not believed to testify on himself. But a shivcha, even his own, her own, would be believed. So Mar says, no, shivcha sinami ka'atzmedami. Her slave woman is her. It's not a separate person. Her maidservant is hers. She'll lie just like a person will lie for himself. Right? A person is not believed to testify on himself. So Gemara says, in this case, Rav Papa answers, her maidservant is like her. And therefore she not believed. Okay? So far, there's two answers of the Gemara and seemingly this contradiction. Why have I get? If a guy gives a get and that when he dies, it's retroactively good from now. Her shivcha is not believed. And by captivity, she is believed. So that puppy says, by captives they were lenient. Not by the other kids. The puppy says, her servant is taka never believed. His servant is believed. Right? Now Rav Ashi answers another answer. And he says like this. Ha v'ha b'shivcha dida. Both are speaking her servant. By get, she's not believed. And here she is believed. Why? So he says like this. Shivcha michse chazye v'shoske. A slave woman, yeah, sees something and will be quiet. But she'll never lie falsely. And the Gemara explains. Hasam, over there by the case of get, d'shtika mitrasa le mehemna. Silence permits the woman to get married. To make this the get to get. So she's not trusted. Here, silence would forbid, meaning like this. My answer is, it's a very cute answer, by the way. Rav Ashi analyzes the psychology of a maidservant. He says like this. A maidservant will keep quiet. But she's not going to testify falsely. In other words, she'll lie by keeping silent. But actively to testify, she won't lie. And that's what I thought you started saying before. It sounds like this. What's the case of a get? The case of the get is, because the husband gave the get retroactively, yeah, they can't be together. Correct? Unless if there's this maidservant there. Because what do we want? That if the maidservant sees him have intimacy, she'll snitch. And then the get is nullified. Yeah? So Rav Ashi said like this. The maidservant will just be quiet. It does, even if they had intimacy, she's not going to say it. She's not going to say anything. Because what permits the woman? Silence. If nobody says they were intimate, then they weren't. Right? So silence is the testimony that would be good for her. Here, when the captives capture the city, everybody's not kosher anymore, right? In order to make her kosher,
she has to testify actively.
That far she's not going to go ahead and lie, even for her own master. She'll keep quiet. You know, people will lie more by being silent than actively lying. You know what I mean? Just because I saw something, I won't go tell. But to say a lie, that I'm not going to do. Instead, so Rav Ashi says like this, by the case of the get, silence is what's important. Not to say that she was together with the husband. That, a shivcha will lie in. Not lying, but she won't necessarily say what happened. She won't, it's like, what do they say? All the butlers know what's going on in the house, but they don't say anything. They don't talk. Right? That, they won't talk. She won't actively stick up for him. So she'll lie. Here, you need active testimony to permit it. Because all the women of Kohanim are ulcer. Because they were all raped, that's the assumption. She needs to actively lie that her mistress wasn't touched. That far they're not gonna lie.
Anybody or Shifa? For everybody, yeah?
No, everybody's believed.
No, I mean, this psychology.
Nobody's gonna lie.
No, this psychology of silence or saying.
Only her Shifcha.
No,
because like Gemara's Libi Gaspa. Because she's too close to her. She's too familiar with her. So you let down the guard. You know the expression, when you're too familiar with somebody, you let go. So this is the third answer of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, but Ashtanami, meaning even in the case where it's required, Asya Meshaka, maybe she will come and lie. In other words, normally a Shivcha is not suspect of lying, right, actively lying. But maybe she'll do it out of love or fear of the mistress. So the Gemara answers like this. Tarti Layavda. Double lies they're not going to do. In other words, she's not going to keep silent and testify. That's what Rashi says here. She's not going to do both. To be quiet and to lie, that far they're not going to go. Okay, so he says like this. The Gemara's question was, maybe she'll lie twice, so to speak. She'll be quiet, and then she'll go lie. Right? The Gemara says that far. And the Gemara says a story, interesting story that happened. This could only happen in the olden days.
How can she be silent and then testify? It doesn't go together. Either she's silent or she's testifying. It can't be both together. Doesn't it?
Maybe she'll come and lie and say that her mistress was not violated by the raping, when in fact she was.
But that's what the silence. She's keeping silent.
No, Dumar asked. Maybe she'll lie. You know, Dumar's question is, not Dumar's answer, Dumar's question is, maybe she'll come and lie that she wasn't raped when she really was.
Then it's not a silence, he's saying something.
So the Gemara says, she will not be for two wrongs, both to keep silent regarding a mistress' violation and testify falsely again about it. In other words, you're saying two things. If she was violated, she could just be quiet. Yeah. Or she can come and say, no, she wasn't violated. Double lie she's not going to do. No more she's keeping silent about it when she saw that she was raped. And plus, she's actively coming and saying, no, it didn't happen. That she wouldn't go. And the Gemara says, this is a very interesting case. It's an unbelievable case over here. The Gemara says like this. God the Mari bar Isik, and some people will say it was Chana bar Isik, also le Acha me Bechuzo. A brother came from Bechuzo, where he was taken by the father as a young boy. Okay? Now, what happens like this. Men, don't forget, in those days, they had a lot of wives in a lot of different cities. Okay? So this guy, Isik, took this young boy and moved to Bar Chuzah with him. A city called Bar Chuzah. Okay? Many years later, Isik died. And there's a brother, Mori Bar Isik. The new younger brother comes and says, hey, there's a will, there's a relative. I'm here. I'm your brother.
How do you know that?
1 minute. Also, and he says, "Plagli benichzi abba." He said to Mari by Isik, "I get half the inheritance. I'm a brother." Amalei, he said, "Lo yadayin alach. I don't recognize you. How do I know you're my brother? Also, the comment of Chista. So the brother came to Rav Chista and said, hey, look what he said, that he doesn't recognize me. Okay? In other words, he said, Rav Murray's lying, how does he not recognize me? How do you not recognize your brother? So Rav Chista said to him, Shapir Kamalach, he could be doesn't recognize you. Like we have in Chumash, last week's Pasha, Vayaka Yosef Esechov, Vahem Laikiru. Like Rashi says, he went without a beard, now he had a beard. He was 17, no beard, 30, big beard. Melamed, like it says, she yotze b'leich simazakin, he went 17 years old when the brothers saw him last, he didn't have a beard. Ubam simazakin. So therefore he says, why what Rav Chista says to the brother, why can't it be that he doesn't recognize him? The brother says, in other words, the brother comes to Rav Mari and says, 50-50, man. I'm your brother. He said, I don't know you. How am I supposed to know you're my brother? So he comes to Rav Chista. The brother comes to Rav Chista and says, he's a liar. What do you mean doesn't know I'm his brother? He doesn't recognize me. And like Rashi said before, his father took him when he was a little kid. So it wasn't that it was a brother he never saw in his life. He saw him as a little kid. And now he sees him as an adult. Right? So he says, what do you mean doesn't... So Rav Chisda says, no, Yitzchak doesn't recognize you, like Yosef and the brothers. So what happens? Amalei, he said, Rav Chisda said to the brother, okay, listen, you want half the inheritance? Zil Isis Sadid Achuat. Bring me witnesses that you're his brother. Right? A guy just can't come and say, you owe me money. The brother comes and says to the money, you owe me 50% of the inheritance. Right? So Rav Chisda said, prove that you're his brother. Well, you'll get it. Listen to this. Amalei, so the brother said to Rav Chisda, is the Sadi, I have witnesses, but Mr. Finamine, they're afraid of Mari. This Rav Mari. Not Rav Mari, Mari. Mari basically was a guy, a very powerful guy. So, the brother is told by Rav Chisda, bring witnesses that you're a brother, right? So he says, I have witnesses, but they're afraid of him, of Rav Mari, not Rav Mari. So, why? The Gav HaLama is a powerful man. And the witnesses are afraid, if they testify against Mari, he'll hurt them. So, what did he do? Amalei l'day, so Rav Chisda said to Mari, okay, you know what? Zilait sina'at delav achuchu. Bring witnesses, he's not your brother. Bring witnesses, he's not your brother. Amalei, so Mari said to Rav Chisda, Dina hachi, hametim chaveir olivarai. Why is the burden of proof on me? He wants to take money out from me. He wants to get half the inheritance. Let him prove it. What do you want from me? Why should I do it? So he said to him, Hacha danina lochol kul alma chavrach. This is the way I rule for all your powerful friends.
What?
This is the way I rule for all you strong guys. Because I can't blame the guy for not wanting to bring witnesses. He says I have witnesses. Yeah? It's a very strange concept. One minute. So the Gemara asked, that's the story. But the Gemara is trying to prove that the guy won't lie double. So the Gemara says, no, one minute. If the guy has witnesses and that they're afraid of Mamari, maybe they'll come and testify that he's not his brother. The witnesses the brother has, if they're afraid of Mari, maybe they'll come and testify for Mari that he's not his brother, if they're afraid of him. So the Gemara says, again, two things they're not going to do. That far the witnesses are not going to go. They might not testify. But to testify against, that they're not going to do. Because that's a blatant lie. They're not going to do that. Okay? So this is the same thing in our Gemara. So this is, let this get straight before we go back further into the Gemara, because the Gemara is continuing now. There was seemingly a contradiction between our Mishnah that implies her shifcha is believed that she wasn't raped, but by the get, she's not believed. So Rav Papi says, you're right, normally her shifcha wouldn't be believed, but by shvuya, by captivities, where it's not definite that she was raped, it's only an assumption that she was raped, so then she's believed. Rav Papa says, no, she's never believed. This that the Mishnah says the Shifcha is believed is his maidservant, not her maidservant. And Ravashi says, no, there's a difference in psychological between get, and get is silence, she's not believed because she'll lie. Right? She won't say anything. But to actively lie, that she's not going to do. These are the three answers of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Leime katanoi, lochede, this is a machlekes of tanoim. Whether a woman's own slave woman, right? Own shivchas, believed or not, l'cheir is a machlekes of tanoim. What's the argument? It says like this. Zu edis, this testimony, yeah, that a woman wasn't raped, remember, that she's allowed to state that husband? It could be ish v'ish, a man, a woman, tineket, tinek v'tinekes, a male child, female child, meaning under bar mas mitzvah, Avia v'ima, the woman's father or mother, Achia v'achaisa, her brothers or her sister, but not her son, not her daughter, not her maidservant, and not her male servant. Okay? This is one braisa. One braisa says, yeah, that everybody is believed except her son, her daughter, her maidservant, and her slave. Because they'll lie. In other words, it's very interesting. That doesn't sound right today. A daughter will lie for a mother more than a mother will lie for a daughter. Today's just the opposite. Today's just the opposite, yeah. But another braisa says, Hakol Nemen Loid, everybody could testify except her and her husband. That means the slave woman is believed to testify. There's two braises contradicting themselves, which obviously is different opinions. One braise says her maidservant is not believed, and the other braise implies is all believed. Right? Correct? That's what these two braises say. So the Gemara explains. Rav Papi and Rav Ashi, who say that her maidservant is always believed, whether because it's a shvuya, because in captivity we believe her. Or that like Rav Ashi says silence is not believed, but to lie she is believed. That's for sure an argument tanoim. But the Gemara asks, Rav Papa, according to Rav Papa, that says it's her servant is taka never believed, but his servant is believed. The Gemara says, Lema Tanoi is an argument of Tanoim. In other words, so how do you reconcile these two braises? According to Rav Ashi and Rav Papi, who say a Shvuya is not believed. By Shvuya they are believed, right? Rav Papi and Rav Ashi both say that her maidservant is believed by the case of rape. So obviously the braises must be an argument of Tanoim. But Rav Papa says like this, Ki Tanya hi b'masicha lefi tuma. When is that braise says, and this is a very interesting halacha, this is a very important halacha. When is the maidservant believed? Meaning, maidservant is never believed. Okay? That's what Rav Papa holds, it's never believed. I want braise says she is believed. Only masicha lefi tuma. Masich lefituma means when she says it as a matter of fact, not as a testimony. Masich lefituma literally means, like it says at the bottom, talking in her innocence. What does this mean? There's a difference. If somebody comes on their own, and this is a very interesting din, by the way. If somebody comes on their own, and in casual conversation, not as a testimony, just tells a story, you believe them. But if they're asked to testify, they'll lie. Because then they're going to say what you want to hear.
What if the guy's a BS artist?
No, but they say Masich Vitume means he's not coming to testify. I'll give you an example. The Gemara, and this is Aloha, by the way. The husband's MIA, missing in action somewhere. And a bunch of goyim come, understand their own, nobody's asking him to test it. Just on their own, you say, you know, there was this guy killed, and we buried him next to the road. And the way they describe the guy, it's her husband. So she's allowed to remarry, even though they're goyim.
Right.
But if goyim come and you ask him, was this guy killed? They're going to lie because they're going to say what you want to hear. Right. Even today, Marshall, if something happens and you have a housekeeper and you want to ask something in the kitchen, if you ask her a point blank question, yeah or no, then they'll lie. But if you make it in a way that you're not, you don't really care about it, just like, whoa, what happened? You know, what happened here? And they're just doing it testifying. They're just saying it as a story, then you believe them. So he says like this. One braisa says a shivcha is believed, one braisa says a shivcha is not believed. So Rav Papa says, no, a shivcha is never believed. One braisa says she's believed. Masich lefi tuma. She's not testifying, this woman wasn't raped. He happens to tell the story, you know, we were a bunch of people, and we all hid, and you know, they were just telling a story as it is. So then she's believed. But if she's coming to testify, then she's not believed. So the outcome of the Gemara is very interesting. According to Rav Papi and Rav Ashi, her shivcha is believed to testify she wasn't raped. Either because of Shvuya, or the Rav Ashi, she's not going to double lie. According to Rav Papa, she's not believed, unless if it's what's called Masiach Lefituma. Just casual conversation. She happens to tell us, oh, you know what happened? The city, the guy, they captured the city, and all the women ran away, and we hid from them, and, you know, she's not even answering your questions. And then if she happens to mention that that woman was with her in the hiding place, she's believed.
In both cases, is that one case? Masiach Lefituma.
In all cases, it's believed.
Huh?
It's all cases, it's believed.
Even by the get?
No, by the get is... Over there, she's not saying it.
Yeah, why not? Why we don't believe her here, too?
We do believe it. By get? Yeah. What do you mean, Masiach Vitumish? She doesn't say anything.
I ask her, what's happening?
The din is... After the guy wrote the get, right? He needs to have yichud with a guy or anybody... Because if anything happens, they'll say it.
Yes.
Why should she come and talk? She's not going to come and talk.
Nobody can ask about
it. No. And the Gemara gives an interesting case of what Masiach Lefitume is. It says like this. Chiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he said like this. I'm sorry, he came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael. And the story came before Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And other people say, no, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi told the story that somebody came before Rabbi. Okay, what was the case? The guy on his own just comes to Bez and he says, you know what happened? My mother and I were taken captive by Goyim. Whenever I went out to draw water, my mother was on my mind, meaning I was watching her. Look, I would go to gather wood. I was thinking about my mother. In other words, the kid wasn't asked to testify. The kid came to Rabbi and said, you know, this Tamizi was happening to talk to him in shul. Yeah. He said to him, you know what happened? Me and my mother were captured amongst the Goyim. But wherever I went, I made sure my mother wasn't touched. And what happened? Hasiya Rabbi Lakun Alpiv. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi allowed her to marry a Kohen. It's a son. Right? And we said before, a son can't testify for his mother. The answer is because he's not testifying. It's Masiach Lefitume.
Telling a story.
Right.
What is the conclusion?
What's the conclusion in Halacha between the three opinions?
End of our subject.
Looks like the Rambam paskens like Rav Papa.
Question about Mara.
She's talking not believed unless if it's Masiach Lefitume.
So, question about
Mara. Oh, I don't know what the end of that story. I don't know if he brought eight witnesses or not.
Question. Guy had a brother. Guy says he had a brother.
No, he doesn't say he has a brother.
He doesn't have a brother.
He said, I don't have a brother.
Guy just showed up.
Yeah, he says, I'm your brother.
Your brother.
What's that? But just for the record. He knew he had a brother.
Yeah.
The story was the father took the kid.
That's the one.
Yeah, he says, how do I know you're my brother? Prove it.
But he had another wife in some other city. But
no, it could be he took this kid from the city, from the same wife, and he wanted to move in a different city.
So the father shows up, and boy.
Not the father, brother shows up and says, hey, guy, I'm your brother, one half the inheritance. The guy says, I don't know who you are. He says, you're a liar. What do you mean I don't know who I am? So he says, the chista says, it's possible he doesn't know who he is.
It doesn't matter.
I'm saying, even if he met him, it doesn't matter. A guy grew a beard. He's a Chabadnik. He grew a beard.
Other people grow beards too, you know?
Yeah, not the real ones.
Not the real beards?
You mean the December 25th beards?
No, people on the blade beards.
Oh.
If one man has like many wives, all get equally shared?
No. Oh, yeah. From his inheritance?
Yeah.
Yeah, but only the first son of the first wife is the B'chor.
It's double.
Huh?
It's double.
Yeah. But if a guy had 5 wives and 10 kids, or 20 kids, each one gets a 20. Well, if there's a b'chor, a boy, yeah? See, if there's 20 kids, you divide into 21 parts. You divide Yerusha into 21 parts. The firstborn gets 2 21s, 21sts, and everybody else gets a 21st. That's how you divide. If there's 3 sons, even a normal case, yeah? 3 sons, one's a b'chor. So how do you divide the property? You divide it into 4. The b'chor gets 2/4, and they get 1/4 and 1/4. Yeah? Here the guy doesn't ask for a b'chor, you just say, I'm your brother, you know, I have a right to inheritance. But what Rav Chista said is very interesting then. Because l'chayra, the guy wants to take out money, he has to prove it. Like Mari said to him, that's not Allah. He said, with all you gangsters, that's what I'm going to do. Tough luck. Rav Chista was very strong. Rav Nachman, Rav Chista, they were powerhouses. They didn't let anybody step on them.
They would listen to rabbis then, right?
Oh, yeah. No, if they were, first of all, Bezim would take away the money. I mean, you know, they had the kayak, but they didn't have power. Okay. Next Mishnah. Okay, we're starting a new Mishnah. All the latecomers can listen. Now, Reb Chaya ben Akatzev lived, just let me tell you the story. He lived in the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Now, he was a Kohen. The Kohen came into Yerushalayim. Question is, can he stay married to his wife? So Amar Reb Chaya ben Akatzev, he says like this, Hamoin Eizeh, I swear by the Beis HaMikdash, by this dwelling place, Leizaza Yada Mitech Yadi, my wife never left me, Misha Shenichnesu Evide Kachavim Yerushalayim Ad Sheyotzel. From the time the Goyim came into Yerushalayim until the minute they left, I swear by the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't touch her. And therefore I can stay, he was a Kohen. So therefore I could stay married to my wife. Listen to this. Amrulay, they said to him, guy, sorry, ain't other maid allowed to me. You can't testify in your own behalf.
Your wife is like your behalf.
Yeah. So therefore, like the Bryce just said, you can't testify on yourself. Right? So, he cannot testify. So he had to, what the Gemara is going to say, what they did. It's very interesting. The Gemara says, it says in the Braisa, Afo Pikain, what did they do? They didn't make a divorcer. What did they do? Listen to this. Yachad la bayis b'chatzere. He was permitted to have a house for her, meaning a separate room in the courtyard. She yaitza, whenever she left the house, yaitza b'reish banal, she would leave before her children. When she came back into the house, she came in after the children were there. There shouldn't be yichud. In other words, because the Reb Chaya ben Akatzev, right? Because the Chamza, we don't believe you. Therefore, there's some she was raped. Therefore, because you're a Kohen, you can't stay married to her. You can't have yichud with her. Because then you can have intimacy with her. Right? So nevertheless, she said, the Gemara says like this, they built her a separate house, but she never was a house alone without the kids there. So whenever she left the house, she left with the kids still in the house. And when she came home, the kids were already in the house.
In other words,
They were kind of unofficially divorced, that's why.
That's the 17.
They were unofficially divorced?
Yeah.
Unofficially.
Yes.
So in other words, he didn't really give the get, but because of this problem, she had to have the kids all the time with her.
Right.
That's very interesting.
In other words, she remained his wife. She could live in the same courtyard, and they didn't end the marriage.
Wait one second. They couldn't be intimate?
No.
They couldn't be intimate?
No.
It's like a half marriage. Like a roommate.
Whatever, but yeah. So now, the question is, okay, but by the way, otherwise there'll be, there's a very interesting taste. The taste holds, this Masich Lefitume is only kosher by captivity, not by other things, because only by Shvuyah they were lenient. But not like the case of a get, that type of women dinim that wouldn't be believed. The Paskim over here ask a question. The case of Rishayib, and I remember we learned before that if there's hiding places in the city, and the woman says she wasn't touched, she has a migui to say she could have hid. So they asked, there are many places in Yerushalayim for women to hide.
Right.
Why isn't he believed that they have a migui? She could have said, I hid. And he doesn't bring down the answer is, but he says, look in this and this and the people that talk about it. Okay, so now Abai asks a very interesting question. Malasi is Begerusha Kane. Can we do it by his own divorcee?
What?
Can you do the same thing a kohen to do what Reb Chaya ben Akosef did if he divorced his wife? Huh. It was a very simple question. If a kohen divorces his wife, he's not allowed to remarry her. Right? Anybody else can remarry their own wife as long as she didn't marry somebody else in the middle. Right. That's a pasuk in Chumash, right? Yeah. If somebody divorces his wife, she marries somebody else, second husband dies and divorces her, she cannot remarry the first husband. Right? But if she didn't get remarried, a guy can remarry his wife. It's called Machzor Gerushasi. It's a mitzvah, in fact, according to many opinions. It's a mitzvah to remarry her. But a kohen can, because a kohen can't marry a divorcee. Right? That's what, remember, we learned by a kohen's get, they don't do it nowadays. They used to make it a long, drawn-out process. They wrote a line, then folded it, and they did, because kohen... Nobody's crying here. The crying is a lot of temper. Kainim have temper, as the Gemara says. The guy's gonna get angry, his wife will slap at the bezim right away, and if anger is gonna write the get, and then, like Achashverosh, you know, he calms down, and he says, oh my God, I can't even remarry her. Cause I'm a Kayan, right? Yeah? That's the case. Huh? What?
There's
Achashverosh. They killed his wife when he was angry, and then when he calmed down, he was upset. Okay. So a biased question like this. If a kohen divorces his wife, can they have a separate house for her? You know, they stay semi-married. But she never has yichud with the husband. Now, there's always kids around before and after. She never leaves the house without the kids.
Well, the kids are not there.
Huh?
Well, the kids got married.
Then there's a problem. There's yichud.
So what's he going to bust? What's the
you know, you have this issue today with stepkids.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Stepchildren are not related.
Right.
There's a problem with yichud.
If the biological kids are there with the stepkids, it's okay though?
Yeah.
The same with the adoption or no?
Yeah.
Well, the stepkids are there with who? This is a stepdaughter.
You know the expression, would you please tell your kids to tell my kids to stop fighting with our kids?
Yeah.
Your kids, my kids, our kids. This is what goes on today. It's not a joke.
That's right, that's right.
If there's kids in the house, there's no yichud.
he divorce her or not yet?
If he didn't divorce her, he can live with her. The case was, Abaye's question is, just like Reb Chaim ben Akatsav did this. Yeah? In other words, the question is like this. Are we lenient by Shvuya? He's going to explain the question. Because of Shvuya. Because it's only assumption that she was raped. We don't know for sure she was raped.
But they cannot be together anymore.
I understand, but that's as a chumrah.
Okay.
So over there, maybe the house helped. But how do I know if a Kohen divorces his wife, maybe she can't have a house there with, because it's biblically forbidden. It's not maybe, it's 100% forbidden. Or do we say, no, there's no difference. This solution works.
In these cases that we learned, if the person has, like the Kohen, or the other person has to divorce his wife because of this cheshash, they have to give a get?
But that's a biased question. Normally,
Did we discuss it yet?
That's a biased question. Can you work out such an arrangement? Abaye was a Kohen, by the way. Abaye came from Beis Eli, from Eli and, Eli HaKohen. Abaye asked, can a Kohen do that also? Otherwise, a Kohen has to, Abaye's question is not in that case. Abaye's question, when a guy Kohen actually divorced his wife.
Yeah, but asking in general, when there is such a fashash,
you have to divorce.
They have to give a get.
Yeah.
It's very sad. There's only one fashash they have to give a get.
No. You're talking about Shvuya?
In general, when they are of the Pachavim coming to the town,
That case, yeah. Or do Rav Chaim ben Akatsav Zaitzer. He did that by Shvuya and they allowed it. I thought you meant something else. If a woman was for sure raped, then he has to divorce her.
Yeah, but he has a
cheshash on it. Right. So that's a biased question. A Kohen who divorces his wife is not a cheshash. It's definite. The question is, could we rely on this thing that the solution that Rav Chaim ben Akatsav did? So the Gemara says, Toshma, come up with it. It says, if a guy divorces his wife, she cannot remarry and live in the husband's neighborhood. Okay? In other words, why? Because we're afraid they're going to still fool around. Because they know each other. No, it's not a Kohen.
Kohen's wife.
No.
About?
A guy divorces his wife. And she remarries. She can't live in his neighborhood.
That's still going to
happen. Well, no, we'll see what it means. Why? Because we're afraid. They know each other very intimately, the first husband and wife. And they'll do things, like it says, she knows his private gestures and signal, we fooled her and come to sin. Okay?
I don't think you have that problem with divorces today. They want to be as far away as possible, usually.
One second. That's not true, by the way.
Is that true?
B'mayu Kohen, and what happens if he's a Kohen? This is if he's a Yisrael. She can't live in the neighborhood. B'mayu Kohen, l'sadin imi b'mavi. She can't live with him in a mavi, even though she has not remarried. Because it's his divorcee. Right? B'mayu kfar katan, if it was a small village in which they dwell, meaning, then if it's a small shtetl, she can't even live in the same mavoi. Again, for the same reason, it's an alleyway in the court, what the courtyard opens to. So therefore, it's such a small place that a lot of people are gonna. If a lot of people go by, then it's not a problem. They're afraid people are not gonna go.
And Kohen is more chamur or not?
More chamur.
Closer.
This din is even if she didn't remarry, Rashi says, even Leini says, even if she didn't remarry. The first case.
She married.
Yeah. Then we're afraid she's going to live with an Eish Yisish.
Okay.
But this case is the woman didn't remarry. Okay, so if it's a Yisrael, we don't care if she lives in this neighborhood. Because they can remarry again. Right?
Okay.
But if she remarried, then you got a problem.
Huh.
But if it's a Kohen that divorced his wife, then he can't live with her either. Can't remarry his own wife. Right?
Why are you bringing in place of Mavi? Why not in Shekhuna?
No, Mavi is less than a Shekhuna. The coin is more chamur.
Okay.
Now, Zeha Yemaisa, the tak this such a story occurred, and the Chachamim said, Kfar Kata Nidin Kishchuna, a small village is like as a neighborhood. Therefore, a wife who remarried cannot live in the same small shtetl like her first husband. And here, it's not for now, but there's a whole argument over here in the Poskim what the story is.
I don't get it. If like when we are more chamur, because it's more problem, we should say not in Shekhuna. Not on Keshuk. Not even the whole neighborhood shouldn't be.
So he says Rambam Miran hold that she is even a single girl, I mean a woman who's divorced from Yisrael. They're prohibited to reside in a former husband's courtyard, not in his mother's neighbor, but actually in the courtyard, which is closer to home. Ritva and Ran maintain there's no reason to forbid this from sliding near her first husband. She can even reside in her courtyard, because what's the big deal? He can remarry her. So Rashi says only she may reside in his neighbor, does not discuss laws of courtyard. Okay, whatever. Okay.